Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The disciplines that bring us victory include the discipline of worship, putting God in His rightful first place in our hearts and making everything else a distant second place. Today, you'll hear several practical ways to make worship the center of your life. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in John chapter 4 in our series on disciplines that grow godliness. The woman at the well is learning all about the true worship of God, the God who has a right to all the glory we can ascribe to Him.
Looked at from our standpoint, to be egotistical is wrong because we have no right to be egotistical. But looked at in the right way, yes, God is egotistical, but He has a right to be because to Him everything funnels into His glory and into His plan. Did you know that the purpose of the church is not missions for missions' sake? The purpose of this church, or any church, should always be worship. And the reason that we are interested in missions is that we might get more people to worship Christ. That's the whole motivation. Why is it that we give money? Well, you say we give money to the church to keep the church going, to keep its ministries puttering along. No, that isn't why we give money to the church. We give money to the church, it says in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, you gave gifts that these gifts might be a sweet-smelling savor to God. We give to honor God. We give to glorify Him. Why does God save people? The scripture says He saves us that we should be to the praise of His glory. And why do you pray, may I ask? Is it not because Jesus taught us that the Father might be glorified in the Son? And why is it that God leaves so many prayers unanswered? He does it that we might be weaned from the things of this world, and unanswered prayer, far from driving us away from God, should be the fuel to motivate us to get closer to God, because we know now that really we do not need the answer to our prayer nearly as much as we need God. So unanswered prayer should be pushing us beyond simply asking for requests and finally coming and saying, oh God, let me be satisfied with Thee. That's the whole point. And that's what worship is really all about. How is it that we worship God? There are different aspects to worship. One is obedience. One day God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, take your son and go to Mount Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I shall tell you of. You remember when Abraham left the donkey and his servant, and he and his son went up the hill? He said, he and this lad, namely my son, will go yonder and worship and come again to you, he said to the servant. We will worship, and that worship involved incredible obedience, being willing to kill his own son if necessary. That's one way that we honor God. God is honored through our obedience. God is honored when we are willing to say yes to anything that He brings to our attention. God is honored when we praise Him. The Bible is very clear, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So when we begin to thank God, and when we begin to recognize that because He is God, He is deserving of all thanksgiving, and you begin to read the Psalms, then you begin to understand that God's attributes are being praised and admired. God loves it when we admire Him. And of course, we also obey Him through dependent prayer. We can also honor Him through faith in Christ. Jesus said, whoever honors me honors the Father. If you don't honor me, you don't honor the Father. And that's why the scripture tells us that we should honor the Son. Can you imagine what would happen in your life and mine if we were to have what was known as a Copernican revolution? Copernicus was an astronomer who came to the conclusion that actually it was not the sun that was going around the earth, but the earth going around the sun. The belief was that the earth was stationary. That was the ancient belief. And now the belief was that it is the sun, if anything, that is stationary. Of course, nobody knows whether it's completely stationary. Everything may be all moving together. But nevertheless, from our standpoint, it is now the sun that becomes the center of the solar system and the earth is twirling around it. Imagine what would happen if God's beloved Son would suddenly be brought from the circumference into the very center of our lives, and everything that we did would revolve around Him, and the only sincere question that we would have is He thereby glorified? What a transformation that would be in our lives and in our church. If the only thing that really mattered, because the only thing that really matters to God is that He be glorified. Why should you and I be fruit-bearing Christians? It says that the Father might be glorified. It says, let your light so shine upon this earth that other people may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. There is no other purpose to life. Can you see how short-minded it is to say to yourself that the real purpose of life is to get a good job, earn as much money as you can, and then retire in a very nice place and do whatever you want to do for the rest of your life? That is not the Christian life. The Christian life says, I am here to glorify God, whether by life or by death, whether by health or illness, whether by an easy life or a difficult life. I exist purely to glorify God, and in all that I do, including my retirement, which is something that you can indeed enjoy, but even there, the real issue is, do I glorify God? What wilt thou have me to do? There is no other question. Now, why is it that we don't live that way? Why is it that God is oftentimes not the center of our lives? It's because the Scripture tells us that we have spoiled our appetite on the world. And the more we are in the world, the more our appetite gets spoiled for really finding fulfillment in God and worshiping Him. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like the world to just drain away all your passion for God. You can watch television. And when you turn on the television, as I did last night, for a few moments, trying to catch some specials, but beginning to see all that is involved on that TV screen, I was reminded again that watching television takes the passion and the love that you have for God, and it can just quickly sap it all away and drain it away. And that's actually what the devil wants to do, is he wants to separate us from our Father. That's his goal. And so the more we feast on the things of this world, it spoils our appetite for God. My people have committed two evils, said Jeremiah. They have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water, and they are drinking from polluted fountains that taste good, and they are bypassing the living stream. Here's what I'd like you to do this coming week. You say, what is there that I may do? I'd like you to spend 10 minutes at least in worshiping God, not only the coming week, but the coming year. Can you take out 10 minutes and just say, these 10 minutes are for God totally, undistracted? Is God worth that much? I hope that He is worth a whole lot more than that, but this is perhaps something that will be new for many of you. Number one, spend some of that time in searching. What do I mean? Oh Lord, search my heart. That's what you do. You pray the prayer of the psalmist. Oh, Lord, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. One of the greatest things that I have learned is silence before God. God reveals to me the things that I need to deal with. He begins to show me through His Word the areas of my life that are not under His control and authority. And I look back upon my prayer life and I wonder how in the world I ever did without it. Silence or searching. Part of that time needs to be spent in that absolute quietness before God, saying, here I am, Lord. What is it that you want to show me? You may be quoting a verse of Scripture or perhaps meditating on a text, but your heart is open to God. First of all, searching, then surrendering, and that's going to be the difficult part because you and I fight tooth and nail on this point of submitting to God. And then what you want is singing or a psalm. One of the best ways that you can worship God is to take a hymn, take the words of a hymn, and even if you're not very good at singing, aren't you glad that God doesn't care as long as it's done in a closet somewhere where no one else has to listen? But He sees it and He knows it and He knows your heart. and you sing to God a hymn of praise, or you read a psalm of praise to God. God loves to hear his word read back to him. He says, I have magnified my word even above my name. And therefore, as we read God's word back to him, we are giving him praise and we are giving him honor. Will you remember that? Searching, surrendering, singing, or psalms, one of those two, at least 10 minutes in which you are not asking. That's the thing. We are going to get to the subject of prayer. But as you notice, we're talking about the disciplines of the spiritual life. Why do I say disciplines? It's because worship just doesn't happen. People think, well, it's going to happen. It doesn't happen unless you plan that it's going to happen. And so it happens by a sense of searching, surrendering, singing, and giving praise and honor and glory to God without any requests. But Lord, I am here to magnify you, to give you glory, and to give you honor. And where does the whole business of worship begin? In the Old Testament, it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish in the way, lest his wrath be quickly kindled. What does it mean to kiss the Son? It means do homage. I mentioned a moment ago that the way in which we worship God is by honoring the Son. In order to honor the Father, Christ said, you must begin by honoring me. Some of you need to believe in Jesus Christ, even today. You've never savingly come to faith in him. I urge you to do that, because only Christ can bring you to God the Father so that you can become a worshiper. Today, Jesus Christ says that the Father seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He's searching. He's on a hunt. Will he find you, and will he find me? That is the question.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you're going through a trial, if you are discovering somehow that one disappointment after another is coming your way, would you pause and worship the Lord? Would you bless the Lord at all times, as the scripture says? You'd be surprised at the power that comes to your life when you begin to worship God and see life from his perspective. I want to thank the many of you who support this ministry, and I want to emphasize that this is the last week of our matching gift challenge. What that means is whatever you give will be doubled, and I like to say that no gift is too small and no gift is too large. Thank you in advance for helping us. Would you pray about the possibility of joining what I like to call the Running to Win family? Remember, at the end of this month also, it's the end of our fiscal year, and we'd like to end strong so that this ministry can not only continue, but continue to expand. Thank you so much for helping us.
Next time, we turn to Joshua chapter 1 and the discipline of meditation. Plan to join us. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.